All right. Morning, everyone. That clock's a bit fast, by the way, so I'm not being non-punctual. Okay. Morning, welcome to part two of the series. We've called the series Triangles of the Soul. Are we ready there? Triangles of the Soul, looking at the seven emotional layers of the human experience. So just to give a little bit of a review, last week we started talking about the concept that the time that we're in is the Omer, the time of character development. So we're looking at the Kabbalistic, we're looking at the emotional structure of our soul. So just some of the points we went through last week, just to recap before we get into today's discussion. We talk about that we operate on different levels. We have the intellect, in our consciousness, we operate on different levels. We've got our intellect, we've got our emotions, our feelings, our responses, in other words, to things that happen to us, and we have our behavior. Now, the hardest thing to change is our emotions because they are our personality. That's who we are. Intellect is where we give room for something else, but our emotions is us, right? So that's very difficult to change. They're also sometimes, by default, animalistic, and therefore the dominant force in our animal soul is driven by impulses, emotional responses, and so on. However, emotions are incredibly important. They make up who we are. They give us passion, excitement, and also critical for the concept of relationships. So we went through the basic structure. Today it's also on the back of your handout. The two triangles of emotion, and then the seventh one, which is the idea of Malchut, which we'll revisit again. And the important point that we made last week is this, and I want to just clarify it and emphasize it a bit before we get into today's discussion, and that is that we explored this idea that refining our character and making our emotions healthier and less toxic or less negative requires three things. The first is taking our dominant emotional disposition. In other words, we all have a different personality, and that's fine. So it's taking the dominant forces. We all have all 10 powers and all 7 emotions, but we each have a different area of emphasis. So it's taking that dominant force within ourselves and nurturing it and developing it, but channeling it towards something that's good, something that's purposeful and meaningful and less egocentric, right? Because by definition, our emotions are a bit egocentric because it's who we are. It's us. It's us being expressed. It's the I being expressed. So we have to channel that, remove the ego, and channel it towards something more purposeful and meaningful. The second component to developing and refining ourselves is what we call the maturity of our emotions. In other words, the idea to contain it and the ability to hold sometimes two emotions at the same time, which might be different. So we can, even with people, we can love some things and accept some things that people have, and yet at the same time even hate some other things that they have. We don't have to, not like children, in other words. Children, when they have an emotion, as we said, it overwhelms them completely, and they cannot hold two emotions at the same time, two opposite emotions at the same time. But part of maturing and part of refining and part of the refinement of the human experience, part of the maturity of our emotional responses driven and guided by our intellect is to contain them to where they need to be contained to, and to allow for other emotions to exist and be experienced at the same time. And thirdly, the third very critical component of growth is to engage in parts of our personality that are not our natural default disposition. In other words, we all have the parts of us that are us and the parts of us that some are not us, but we all have to engage in all seven emotions. So therefore, part of growth is to look for areas where sometimes it's difficult. So the first one is that we emphasize and we nurture our dominant force towards good, but also at some point we have to engage and experience those emotions which are not us, more difficult, are going beyond our own comfort zone, and so on. Okay. So last week what we did was we started explaining, today we're going to talk about the two primary emotions, chesed and gevurah. Last week we started talking about chesed as the first one of the midot, the first one of our emotional structure. And what I want to do today is develop it a bit further and also go into the second one, the idea of gevurah. Now, chesed, as we said last week, or sometimes as it's called in Kabbalah, ahava, love, it's the same thing. Because when we say chesed, we don't mean chesed in the practical sense. That's an outcome of chesed. In other words, giving someone something, right? We're talking about the emotion now. What's the feeling? And we explained that ahava, love, or chesed, as we call it, is really a foundation for everything, right? And that's why even with God, who his own seven emotions, the verse tells us, Olam chesed yibaneh, the world was built on chesed. In other words, the idea of chesed is really the goal of all our emotional responses. In other words, whenever we respond emotionally, just like God when he developed his own emotions, so to speak, his goal is chesed. In other words, his goal is to give. That's why he created a world. He wanted a relationship. He wanted to give. However, we have other emotions too, but the foundation, the goal is always chesed, right? Even if we're doing gevurah, even if we're doing teferet, whatever we're doing, the goal is connection. The goal is to give. The goal is to bring us together. The goal is to create oneness between different things. One interesting idea with chesed is it's a fascinating Kabbalistic idea, which is actually a very deep idea, that everything in the world, every object, fire, water, trees, whatever they are, right, they all connect to one of the seven emotions. Did you know that? Which is why God created the world in 7 days, right? So we learn that water is chesed, which we're going to develop in a moment. Fire is gevurah, right? Now, it's a beautiful idea, this, by the way, because what that also means, not just that we're using an analogy, you know, it's not that we're just picking, like, you know, you want to have an analogy about what chesed is about, I'll bring you water and I'll explain to you why the properties of water are similar to chesed. It's not like that. It's the other way around, actually. When we say water is chesed, it's because the beautiful idea of the structure, the Kabbalistic structure, which God used to create the universe, means that there's a godly imprint on everything that exists, right? In other words, not just that water, it's a side point, but it's a beautiful idea. It's not just that water is an example to explain chesed, but actually water evolves from the godly chesed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different idea. In other words, everything that's why there's a structure like that. God manifested himself in seven emotions, evolved into different spiritual worlds, and eventually the physical world, where everything is an evolution of... See, Judaism just believe in evolution, just a different system. The Darwinian evolution, but a godly evolution, right? Where God starts with the seven emotions and then everything else evolves from there. So when we say water is chesed, what we actually mean is that water, the creation of water, was a evolution from the godly, divine attribute of chesed. But also what it does is it gives us an insight to understand the meaning of what that is and what chesed. Now, in the Torah, when we talk about individuals, of course, the ultimate example of chesed is Avraham Avinu, Abraham, who was desperate always to do kindness. It was just flowed from him. Even when he was circumcised at the age of 99, he was recovering from surgery, essentially, and God made it a hot day in order not to bother him with guests. He was upset, and he was sitting at the door of the tent, as the Torah tells us, looking for guests, right? That's Avraham Avinu. But let's talk about the example of water. Why is water chesed? So we mentioned it last week. I want to just develop it a bit. So the idea of water is this. Water is something that flows, And always, if you don't catch it, unless you catch it in a limiting sort of vessel, but if you let water to its own devices, it'll always flow from something higher to something lower, which is the idea of giving, right? Particularly when we look at someone as a receiver as opposed to a giver. In other words, we're looking to give to someone who doesn't have what we have, right? Chesed means, kindness means, you give or you love someone that doesn't have that love that you can give or doesn't have that object you can give them. So that's the idea of water. But it's more than that. It's more than just flowing. It's an automatic flow. In other words, chesed in its purity is, like if a person is a pure chesed person, which as I said last week, it's very complicated just to say a person is a chesed person or a guru person, because each one contains the others, so it could be a bit more diluted or combined or complex. But to keep it simple, if someone is more of a chesed person, what it means is that chesed just flows from them, right? So they'll give it any opportunity. They'll give the shirt off the back. They'll wake up 2 o'clock in the morning to take you to the airport, right? Because this just, it flows. Chesed just flows, sometimes uncontained, and which could be a problem actually. But its idea, chesed in its purity, is the idea of just giving and flowing, right? Now, sometimes, it's interesting, I just want to bring this in, because I talked to you about the names of chesed, right? So sometimes it's referred to as chesed, sometimes as ahava, love, all the same thing. But sometimes in the verses of Tanakh, in fact we have this in our davening, chesed is actually referred to as gedula, greatness. Why is it greatness? Right? So again, like we said, the world was created and founded on the concept of chesed, right? Which has to be our foundation as well, as we'll soon explain. The reason why it's a greatness, because what it comes out of all these different explanations, the idea of water and so on, chesed means connection, but the connection means it's the basis of humility, really. It's the basis of making and tolerating and accepting and giving to an other. Right? With God, God's chesed is much more emphasized, because the reason why we refer to God's chesed as gedulah, greatness, is because God is infinite and yet made room to accept, to have a relationship with a finite world, with finite people. Right? Now, with us, it's not quite like that, but for us, it's also a similar idea, where a proper chesed, by the way, doesn't mean when you give a present to someone who you really love. When you give a present to your best friend, that's great, that's a nice gesture, and it's good etiquette, and so on and so forth. But that's not pure chesed, right? That's conditional chesed, essentially. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a very good thing. But because we always, you know, we give to each other, we share with each other, we honor each other, we celebrate each other, and so on and so forth, that's all good. Real chesed means I give to someone I don't know, or someone that I don't like even, right? That's pure chesed, that I'm able to tolerate, I'm able to give. Rejecting someone because you don't like them, that's not chesed, that's gevura, as we'll soon see, right? Bad gevura, actually. But we talk about chesed. Chesed means the ability to just make room. Without making an entire cheshbon, without making an entire calculation, whether it's a good idea, whether it fits with me, whether I'll gain from it, pure chesed means selflessness, complete selflessness, right? That's why it's a little bit like water. It's an automatic flow, it just flows. It doesn't make a difference where it's going, right? If you pour water, it doesn't make a difference if you're standing near beautiful grass and beautiful trees where the water is going to be particularly beneficial or not, or you're standing in some dirty area, whatever the case is, the water just flows. That's why the analogy of chesed is water, pure chesed, right? And that's why it's gedula, it's the idea of greatness. You know what's interesting, right? We talked about children having extreme emotions and children being quite self-centered, which is the way they're designed to be. So one of the things we find with children is that they don't have that automatic flow of chesed. Some adults also don't, but we're supposed to work on it, right? But children don't have it, and it's actually not realistic to expect it from them. It's our duty to train them into that. So, for example, most kids don't like to share. Little children, right? You know, 4-year-olds don't really sit and think, you know, I got a birthday present, a choo-choo train, but really I shouldn't keep it for myself the whole time. I'm going to look for people to share it with. I haven't met a 4-year-old that does that yet, right? Why? Because it takes us, because they don't have pure chesed. They have love, but it's more selfish love, because love because they want to love. And then it's overwhelming love and nothing else exists, and that kind of thing. But not pure chesed, because young children are very self-absorbed people. Again, it's normal, they're supposed to be like that. But that it compromises the ability to have true chesed, right? When you grow up and you make room for others in a selfless way, that's chesed. And that's why it's called gedulah, it's called greatness, because that's what it is, it's greatness, right? Which is an interesting thing that the Kabbalists explain also why it's compared to water, because one of the questions that is asked about that analogy and about the comparison between water and chesed is that you think of chesed as love and giving, you don't think of it as a cold sort of thing, right? And water has that always idea of krirut, as it says in the books. It's like a certain coldness to chesed. It's not like fire, we think more is chesed, because love is like fiery, right? You don't think of chesed as water, which is kind of almost like feelingless, if you know what I'm saying. Yes, it flows, it does. But the truth is that we have this idea in Kabbalah called Ahava Kamayim, love like water, which means when love is totally automatic, right, then it is like water. It actually is a cold love. Not that it affects the love less, right? One of the examples that's given for this is the difference between love between, well, what should happen, right? Love between like close relatives and love between like love in a marriage, right? Romance in a marriage, for example, is normally always compared to Ava like love. The reason is because it's two total strangers that have to actually work on it. And that's hard work. It's not automatic flow. I mean, people think romance is automatic flow, but that's why it often comes to an end. But when it's true love, it's work, right? Because it's two strangers getting together. When you're completely related, like siblings or relatives, sometimes it's automatic. You might not even have to show that love. It's just there, like it's because it's siblings, right? Anyway, that's a separate discussion. I just wanted to bring out this concept of the idea why water is compared to chesed. So it's automatic flow, no conditions, just always giving. And it's the idea that it's automatic. It doesn't need fiery work. Okay. Now, that automatic flow, as we said last week, I just want to build it up so we get it clear what we're actually working with over here, right? That automatic flow is sometimes to inappropriate things. That's the problem with chesed. The problem with chesed is there's an automatic flow. And therefore, it's unstoppable and it's not discernible. In other words, if someone is pure chesed, they don't stop to think where I'm giving chesed to. Therefore, the chesed often lands in the wrong place. That could be an inability to say no. That could be love for evil. That could be indulgence. That could be immorality, as we said last week even. Because it's just always, it's just giving. It's just continuous flow of giving. That sometimes holding back and saying, maybe I'm giving too much, or maybe I shouldn't be giving at all there. I don't mean giving in the physical sense, but giving in the terms of love or relationship. And that's the problem when chesed stands completely alone. So in other words, like this, the default concept of chesed is beautiful. Chesed means connection, making room for others, giving. Those things are all amazing. But as each one of these seven, it can be done really badly. And that's why it needs to be channeled. And it needs to be channeled in two levels. First of all, it does need to be the foundation of everything. You know, even when we need to stop giving chesed, the goal has to be because of chesed, as we'll soon see when we talk about Gevura. Because the goal of everything is connection. Connection to good things, healthy relationships, healthy giving, healthy connection to God, whatever, every type of connection, right? Selflessness, all these things, that's the goal. But in order to achieve that goal, you need to sometimes channel the chesed and make sure it's being channeled into things that are appropriate and things that are good. So chesed is a flow. That's why all these things, I'll give you, like, you know, I said last week, for example, that we talk about seven emotions, but there's many emotions, right? If you look at emotional people, there's hundreds of emotions, right? But there's seven categories. So if you look at chesed, like the things like flexibility, tolerance, love, giving, compassion, empathy, all these things relate to chesed. And if it's pure chesed, it's all these things are completely flow all the time. So a real chesed person will be incredibly flexible, incredibly compassionate, incredibly giving to the point that it might even hurt others because it can be giving to the wrong things and inappropriately or too much of it and not prioritizing time and all this kind of stuff. That's why it needs to be channeled, but it's got to be the goal. It is the foundation of everything, but it's got to be the goal. Let's go to Gevurah a little bit, and then we're going to put them together. So the second one is Gevurah. Whatever chesed is, Gevurah is the opposite. Okay? One's on the right, one's on the left, as your table will tell you. What is Gevurah? Gevurah is everything but giving. It's all about holding back. Right? Holding back. In Kabbalah, often with God's Gevurah, it has the name called Tzimtzum, which God did when he created the world. It was impossible only to have chesed because the continuous flow of God's infinite light would just not be able to create a finite world. It wouldn't work. So God had to hold back. He had to hold back his light. He had to hold back his revelation so he can make room for a world, right? So the idea of Tzimtzum, the idea, we said chesed is sometimes love. The opposite of love is respect or awe or fear. That's about when I move back. I don't connect. I'm actually moving back in awe. That's the idea of Gevurah, right? All these things. Now, it's also a very, very important concept, right? Because sometimes they work together. For example, I'm going to come back to this, but just to give you a quick example, when we talk about relationships, we've talked about this many times. A healthy relationship requires two things, love and respect. Okay? Love is chesed. Respect is actually Gevurah. What's respect? Respect means I respect someone for their individuality that's different to me. I don't suffocate them. I give room for it. I stand back. Right? That's what chesed, that's what respect. Respect comes from Gevurah. And they have to both be there. If a person has only love, the love will suffocate the other person and it will very, very quickly become selfish love rather than selfless love. In order to have selfless love, as we've talked many times, you actually need respect. You need to know when to hold back. You need to know when to create room, to create space. That's all Gevurah stuff, right? In order to have effective chesed. So Gevurah is very, very important. But here's the thing. Chesed always gets a good rap. Because chesed just sounds really good, right? Kindness, love, everything. Gevurah always gets a bad rap. Why is that? Like, you know, because you think of Gevurah, like I don't know if you're used to using that terminology, but where I come from, the terminology that's used, you want to say something not nice about someone, you say, it's a very Gevurah person. And it's not meant as a compliment, right? It means he's aggressive, violent, a divisive person, likes to nurture conflict, right? Normally, when you describe someone as a Gevurah person, most times I've heard it at least, it wasn't meant as a compliment. Because all these things belong to Gevurah, like divisiveness is Gevurah, right? Instead of creating connection, you create division. That's why Monday, right? Remember, we talked about the 6 days of creation. Monday is Gevurah. Monday is the day that conflict was created. That's what our rabbis tell us. That's why it doesn't say the word Kitov on Monday, right? Yet, as I said last week, but I want to expand it in a bit. Tuesday, it says Kitov twice. Why? One of the Kitovs that was created on Tuesday was that God created the oceans. What did he do? When the world was created, the entire universe was filled with water. Now, not much existence can happen if everything is filled with water, correct? Water is a symbol of chesed. So what did God do? He used Gevurah, but in a good way. He created the oceans, which means he said, Yikavu hamayim, let the water be contained. Let it collect in different places of the world, which we will call the oceans, and the rest will be dry land so people can exist. That's a Gevurah thing. He created boundaries. But that boundary gave room for healthy existence, right? So that was good Gevurah. But on Monday, it was just pure Gevurah. It said, let the waters go up, down, division, the concept of machloket, the concept of conflict. Okay. So Gevurah, as I say, Gevurah always gets a bad rap. But that's bad Gevurah. Because, see, chesed is always seen as a good thing, Gevurah is always a bad thing, although they both have bad and good. The reason is because chesed is, in essence, is giving and making room for others. It can be done badly, but in essence, it's a good thing. Gevurah is also critical, as we'll see, but in essence, it's a dividing force. The division is normally not a good thing. It's holding back. You want giving, you don't want to hold back, right? So how does it work? It works like this, that the foundation of everything is chesed. Everything has to lead to healthy connections, healthy giving, healthy love. But in order for that to happen, you need good Gevurah. You need to harness the Gevurah in a good way, right? And in fact, what's fascinating is this. I'm going to share with you five examples of what I'm about to say. I think they're important. Not only is it necessary to incorporate good Gevurah to have healthy love, Tevelti Chesed, it always has to come first. So in the order of the emotions, Chesed comes before Gevurah. Why? Because Chesed is the goal. Correct? Giving is always the goal. But actually, in order for giving to be the goal, you first have to apply Gevurah. So I'll show you a couple of examples. The Talmud, when it talks about how to educate children, how to teach children, a teacher-student relationship, uses the following expression. Le'olam, says the Talmud, always, it should be small doche v'yamin mekarevet. The left hand should push away, and the right hand should bring close. In other words, right hand is chesed, love. Gevura is discipline, essentially, right? The left hand. Now, the reason why it's right and left is, and this is different for a left-handed person, if anyone's left-handed here, but, right, because their left hand is their right, whatever, there's a whole Kabbalistic thing with that, but we'll leave that for now. But in the mainstream population, right? You know, today you got to watch what you say, you know what I'm saying, like you don't want to discriminate. In the mainstream sort of population, the right hand is stronger than the left hand, right? So, in the relationship between parent and child, or teacher and student, there has to be both. If there's no boundaries, no discipline, it's over. But the love has to be the right hand. The gevura, the discipline, has to be the left hand, which means what has to be stronger? The right hand. So it always says that when you have love and chesed and gevura combined, or love and fear, or love and discipline together, the main thing, the most prevalent thing, the stronger one has to be the love. Right? You have to have boundaries also, otherwise the love won't go anywhere. However, here's the thing. Although the gevura has to be weaker, what does it say first? It doesn't say you should have a right hand that brings close and a left hand that pushes away. It doesn't say that. It says the other way around. It says you have a left hand that pushes away and a right hand that brings close. Because if you want to have a loving classroom, you actually have to first have gevura. A teacher walks into a class the first day of the year and says, "Hey guys, I'm your buddy, I'm your friend, we're going to have a great time together." He might as well retire on the spot, right? You walk in, there's a structure. "This is my classroom. What's your name? Please be seated. Line up outside the door. These are the rules of my classroom." So there's a bit of small first. The goal is chesed, of course. The goal is a connection. But you want to have that connection in a teacher-student relationship? Gevura doesn't mean harshness, because the harshness is bad gevura, right? Harshness is never good. But structure is good, discipline is good, boundaries are good. Okay, now we know who's the boss of the classroom, who's the authority here, who is the student, who's the teacher, what are the basic rules. Everyone's now behaving themselves, hopefully, and we're learning, then we can show tremendous love. And it should be yamin, it should be bigger love than the discipline. Same thing goes with parents, right? So the goal is chesed. Chesed will never work unless there's some sort of gevura, and the gevura actually has to come first. You know, you see this Kabbalistically, there's a fascinating thing with Shabbat. You know, there's this concept of the three meals of Shabbat, right? So in Shabbat, you have this idea as well, that in the Torah it says you got to engage with the Shabbat, love the Shabbat, embrace the Shabbat, bring holiness into the Shabbat. That's the idea of chesed, really, zachor, that's, right? Then you also have to refrain, you have to let go of the week, right? That's the idea of refrain. Now, the three meals of Shabbat, the Friday night, Shabbos day, and Sudash Lishit, as they call it, corresponds to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? The three forefathers, that's what it says. But what's interesting is, you look in the Zohar, and you look in the Arizal, it doesn't go in order. The Friday night meal is Yitzchak, and the Shabbat morning meal is Avraham. Why? Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura. Right? When you start the Shabbat, the Torah gives us two parts of Shabbat, saying goodbye to the week and engaging with the Shabbat. You can't really engage with Shabbat unless you're prepared to say goodbye to the week. Saying goodbye to the week, rejecting the week, that's Gevura. So you've got to start with Yitzchak. When you say goodbye to the week, when you've disconnected, now I can connect. That's Avraham. So Yitzchak comes first, right? Same thing is in every relationship, really, right? We've said this so many times. The goal of every relationship is love, connection. The goal of a marriage is love. But you can't start with love. You've got to start with respect. You've got to respect the other person, the individuality of the other person, make space, and say, I defer, right? Respect for the individual difference of the other person, then you can bring in pure love and true love. You know, in the laws of litigation, right? Laws of litigation, you have this concept also. So the world has rules, the Torah has rules, right? Rules of honesty, rules of theft, rules of business, rules of everything. That's part of halakha, rules between man and man. Two people are right, and there's what we call it says when God created the world, he created it with two things. Emet and shalom, truth and peace. Shalom is chesed. Emet, truth is good actually, right? Because it's justice. This doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him, you've got to give it, right? It's just justice. Normally, when you apply justice in a litigation, when you come, two people arrive at a court, they've got a claim against each other, one person has a claim on the other, one loses, one wins, there's not a great deal of shalom normally. It's normally one's upset, one's happy, right? Okay. So there is this, God created the structure of justice. However, he said he also created the world of shalom, the world of peace. Peace and truth, by the way, don't always go together. In fact, the Torah, the Gemara says in certain circumstances, you're allowed to lie in order to achieve peace. Correct? So you're going away from the truth in order to achieve peace, correct? Same thing, which is a whole other discussion. We've talked about it once, about the parameters around that. It's not an excuse to always lie and say, I'm doing it for peace. But there are times where you can do that. Now, when two people arrive at a court for litigation, they arrive at a court because they're seeking justice, because the context, the parameters of the world is a set of rules. That's the frame of reference. However, the goal of the world is shalom. So actually what the court does is, and says, the court encourages what we call compromise. Now compromise is not truth, compromise is peace. What do you mean compromise is not truth? Very simple. If I take you to court because I say you owe me $1,000 and then we end up compromising because you pay me $500, someone's lying here. Someone got what they don't deserve, and someone's lost what they fully deserve, right? Yet it brings peace. So we encourage that. But we encourage it only because, but if we only had the encouragement of compromise, it would be anarchy. We encourage that because there's a fallback, that if we can't come to a reasonable compromise, then the fallback is the foundation is the din, is the justice, is the gevurah, right? Like, I'm just giving examples, how gevurah and chesed have to work together. And sometimes gevurah has to come first. Going back to the child-teacher-student relationship. Not necessarily children, but teacher-student relationship. So there's a concept of when a person teaches, right? When a person teaches, an effective teacher, it's chesed, correct? They're giving. Giving information. But first there has to be gevura. Why? Well, what I mean by that, I mean discipline. I'm talking about imparting knowledge. If someone is incredibly knowledgeable and wants to explain something to someone that's much less knowledgeable, there's a process that in Hasidic philosophy talks about it a lot, called tzimtzum of the human being, that is, where you dilute and you structure and you hold back some information so it shouldn't overwhelm the student, right? If a huge, brilliant academic walked into the room and just shared everything he knows about quantum physics, maybe some of you are very knowledgeable, I'm not, but, right? I wouldn't understand a word, and maybe other people would join me, right? So then that's not giving. The person wants to give, he wants to show all his knowledge. That's fantastic, but you didn't teach anyone anything. So what do you got to do first? Work out in your brain what part you're not going to say. The part you are going to say, how am I going to bring it down? Use an analogy. Put in different terminology. That's all gevurah stuff. It's all holding back stuff. For the purpose of giving. Right? The goal is always giving. But you have to first put some gevurah into it. Yes, the gevurah gets a bad rap. It's true, but it's a critical component. By the way, you know, it's in every light part of life. Because I don't know if you ever thought about it like this, but it's in everything. For example, let's say you're running a project, right? So you're going to need chesed and gevurah. You know that, right? What's the gevurah part? Organization. We have meetings that start at 2:00 and end at 3:00. We have people that are reliable, that know that when I say a deadline, it's a deadline. That are going to come on time, that are going to not be distracted by 17 million things, but are going to stay focused, give up the time, say no to other things, in order that the thing can run efficiently. So efficiency is actually a gevurah thing, right? But if you run a project only based on Gevurah, you're not going to get very far, because a successful project needs creativity. Creativity means thinking out the box. Creativity is chesed, right? But there are projects that run only on creativity and fail, because there was no Gevurah before, there's no structure, right? Same thing. You've got to first employ structure. These are the parameters, these are what I need to do, this is the price, this is the thing. Now I've got to bring in creativity into the structure and see how far we can go with it, right? So that's the Gevurah Chesed. Again, what's the goal? The goal is Chesed. The goal is not to have meetings that start on time and end on time. The goal is not the efficiency. The goal is a beautiful product which is imbued and gorgeous from all its creativity. When will it be delivered and work? If it has a Gevurah component that carries it, right? Same thing with the left hand. So it's true in every part of life. So Gevurah is and talking about our own experiences, I mean, let's just list, right? As I mentioned many, many times, so in terms of our own experiences, it works exactly the same way. Sometimes you have in families or in relationships, people that are only giving, and they wear themselves down because there's no boundaries. And then they end up not giving, right? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we have to say no. Say no to our children, we have to say no to relationships, we have to say no to friends. Why? Because we've got to have the koach to give.
Well, that could then be part of our animal soul.
You know, they both part of the animal soul, but they can be good or bad. When they're bad, being driven by animal soul. When they are value based and they become meaningful, then it's godly soul, right? So Gevurah is not a bad thing. It could be a good thing. It could be very godly, as long as used in the right way. What I'm saying is that sometimes we need to know that, like, also when we love people, like, you know, I've said this many times, for example, when we go and visit someone in the hospital, right? Oh, someone's sick, I've got to go visit them. Maybe not. Or maybe, yes, but just for a few minutes, right? I know people, I mean, if you analyze people, you get to understand these things, right? Sometimes I do that, it's not so nice, but sometimes when I'm thinking of these things, I think of people, right? Not you, don't worry, no one in this room. But overseas, I'm talking about, right? I know people that are so loving, they're impossible to live with. Right? You must come for Shabbos. No, I really can't come this week. No, what do you mean you can't come this week? You have to come this week. When I was learning in Yeshiva, I had a couple of relatives like that. Well-meaning people. But I don't want to come to you every week. Like, and maybe it's not convenient for me, right? I remember talking to this with my mother towards the end of her life. Like, there were certain people that there were, the community was like amazing, like amazingly giving, such chesed, it was unbelievable. But there were a couple of people that they didn't understand how to give chesed, right? They'd come in, they want to help. So we're going to reorganize it. One of the things my mother couldn't stand was people who krich, as she used to say, in her cupboards, even when she was very sick. Krich in her cupboards and her things, so privacy or dignity was very, very important to her. You had some people come in and start opening up their cupboards. I'm going to rearrange your house for you. I'm going to pack away your good. I didn't ask you to. In fact, I don't want you to. Right?
It's not kind. It's not what they're supposed to do.
What? Correct, that's what I'm saying. So therefore, chesed, it comes from a good place. It comes from being helpful, right? You have people who don't want to help, not interested in helping. That's bad Gevurah. But when you want to help and you want to love, you have to have good Gevurah. Good Gevurah means you don't know. How does that person want to be helped? Yeah. Right? Maybe part of the way they want to be helped is me holding back a little bit. Right? So in other words, you might be a chesed person, it might be beautiful, but is it water chesed, which means just a continuous flow, unstoppable, indiscriminatory, and therefore actually lands up being very hostile, because you're upsetting people, you're overwhelming people, you're suffocating people, right? So in other words, again, it's the same thing. It's the Gevurah that comes before the chesed. I really want to help, but hold on a second. Before I help, let me stand back a little bit, apply Gevurah, good Gevurah, and find out what does the actual person want? What's good for the person, right? What's dignified for the person? Maybe I have to, maybe not today, maybe I have to hold back, maybe it's tomorrow, right? I'm saying we all go through this and we all experience this, but this is the key of life. Interestingly enough, this works in Judaism as well, right? Where Yiddishkeit works very much like this. There's a mitzvah to love God, right? I mean, that's a very high level, true love of God. But I'm saying about to love Judaism, to love doing a mitzvah, all these kinds of things. But there's also rules. The rules of how you do the mitzvah, right? So like, I'll give you a simple example. Let's say you have a mezuzah, right? So mezuzah is beautiful. Like, you know what, maybe I love God so much, so I'm going to put the mezuzah like in the lower half of the door so that my 4-year-old grandson can kiss it. Because I love God so much, and I want my grandkids to love God. So I've messed it up. Why? Because I did what I want, and it's coming out of love. And many people like that, right? So loving, so I'll do it the way I think, you know, I love God so much, I'm going to do this and that. Maybe God doesn't want you to do it that way. That's why they're halachot, that's why they're laws, right? God says, yes, I want you to love me, I want you to get excited about the mezuzah, excited about the tefillin, excited about the Shabbos candles, but you've got to do it the way Shabbos candles is a good idea. It's a good example. I talk about this all the time, right? Especially now in winter, lighting Shabbos candles in time. Shabbos candles are a very loving mitzvah. You love God, you're being light into the house, it's beautiful. So once someone told me, but I can't have sit at a Shabbos table without Shabbos candles. I said, well, then you can light them on time. But if I can't light them on time, maybe I can light them later. But then it's not bringing light. It's not loving God then, because you're not doing the way God wants you to do it. And no judgment on what you do the rest of the time. But if you want to do this mitzvah, then you got to do it the way, right? Again, it's chesed and gevurah. It all comes together. Loving a mitzvah is the goal. You got to love to be a Jew, right? There's nothing better than to love to do something godly. But then you got to do the way God wants. Just like every relationship. It's like any other relationship, right? Same sort of thing. So therefore, yes, gevurah gets a bad rap because gevurah in its essence is not a good thing. Division is never a good thing. But it's got an unbelievable critical place in all areas of life. So that the chesed can be good. The chesed can be effective. So therefore, the goal of everything is chesed. The mechanism through which chesed can be applied effectively is gevurah. And in fact, first applying gevurah sometimes, very often, as we just gave a couple of examples. And making sure that the chesed actually flows correctly. You know what's fascinating, right? Rain. Water, right? Rain. We all need rain. I mean, some of us lately don't like rain so much, but... Yeah? Okay, but essentially in our head we know that when it rains it's a good thing, right? Drought is not such a good thing. So we manage. We put on take an umbrella, put on a raincoat, but you know... Lately, it's really fun because God is making rain like strong on Shabbos, which is an interesting exercise. But in the Talmud, so rain is chesed. I mean, it's giving to the world, it's allowing things to grow. It's all chesed. And yet, when the Talmud refers to rain, it refers to gvurot kshamim. The reign of gvura, of strength. Okay? See, here's why. First of all, simple things we just said before. Because how does it rain? If you notice, every drop is separate, correct? Talmud says if the drops would connect each other, the world would be destroyed. Why? Imagine, you know, we've had some great volumes of rain, right? Which have, some of it has been like almost to the levels of flooding, right? But you can imagine if that volume of the rain just came down to the world, right? Without coming down in succession of drops, right? It would just destroy the world completely. It would destroy everything in sight, right?
They never touch each other.
Correct, correct. It's an amazing thing. So rain is an amazing chesed. It's an amazing kindness. It's water. It flows from top to bottom. It's God's kindness to us, so things should be able to grow, we should be able to eat and exist and survive. And its whole mechanism is through gevurah. That's the only way it can come down effectively, by coming down drop at a time. Yeah? Now, one aspect of gevurah which is important to understand is this, that there is negative applications of gevurah. For example, when not only the way we act to other people, like rejection or aggression and so on, that's all gevurah stuff, of course, bad gevurah. But nevertheless, even with God, right, justice, as we said before, justice is gevurah. So when God applies justice, for example, to the world, that's a gevurah thing, right? But yet the idea of gevurah also means not just, you know, when you hold back or... But the word gevurah means strength. That's the word, right? Because sometimes when you want to apply chesed, and you apply gevura in order for the chesed to be effective, it actually takes an amazing amount of strength. And sometimes stronger than chesed even. Sometimes the give is good, you know, you give, it's fine. But if I have to give and then make a whole cheshbon, maybe it's not today, maybe it's tomorrow, it's the way you like it, and it's not the way I like it, I have to hold back, and maybe I shouldn't say what I was going to say, because that's not going to be effective. That takes an amazing amount of strength. I'm just mentioning that also because there's a concept, Kabbalistically, which we talk about channeling gevura. So though gevura is in essence can be negative, but we have this concept in Kabbalah called the sweetening of gevura. What does that mean? We've alluded to this around Rosh Hashanah time. You know, what's interesting is on Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of reference to gevura. That is because Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, right? So what do? We blow a shofar. Which one of the three patriarchs is a shofar connected to? Yitzchak, because when he was brought on the, when he was going to be brought up on the altar, he was not slaughtered, of course, but and then a ram was brought in his place, and the ram had the shofars, right? We eat honey. I've mentioned many times. Where does honey come from? A stinging animal. A gevura animal, essentially, right? What's the idea? The idea is that when it comes around Rosh Hashanah, we say there might be a gevura aspect, an energy in the world. Like maybe we've done the wrong thing throughout the year and God may be judging us and so on, right? So what do we pray for? We don't pray only for chesed. We pray for the transformation of gevura. It's called the sweetening of gevura. Why? Because when gevura is channeled in a good way, it brings greater blessing than chesed could bring. I'll give you an example from a relationship, right? In a marriage, for example, right? Or any loving relationship. So love is chesed, correct? Love is chesed. So you'd imagine that the more chesed the person has, the better the relationship. Correct? Because it's flow of love. More chesed, the more love. It doesn't mean a better relationship. First of all, you need the respect, as I said before, but more than that. You know that one of the things that's so key in a relationship, which brings ultimately more love and more connection, is loyalty, correct? Loyalty in a relationship, it can be in a friend relationship, in a marriage relationship, loyalty. Loyalty is not chesed, loyalty is gvura. See that? Yeah? Let's break it down, right? Love is unstoppable flow of love, then it can be to anyone. So a person can be in a relationship and he can love someone very bad, but he can love everyone. And sometimes that's disastrous. I mean, we should like every person, but I mean, love, right? So what makes even an unbelievably strong relationship? What's actually the key to an unbelievably strong relationship? Yeah. When it's exclusive. When it's loyalty. Loyalty is gevura. It means it's you and no one else. Right? So the blessing and even the love, even the chesed, that comes from harnessing gevura in a right way, can bring greater blessing. And it's true with us also. If we find ourselves having gevura tendencies, like wanting to get angry, wanting to be annoyed with people, reject people, that's all gevura, that's bad gevura, all bad gevura. What we have to do is learn to harness that gevura into being healthy foundations for good chesed. And when we take our gevura and we sweeten it, which means we transform it, and we make it into a tool to serve chesed, to serve the goal, then the chesed becomes unbelievably strong. Sometimes it means creating boundaries, sometimes it means loyalty, sometimes it means whatever, holding back, whatever the case is. You want to have a really good friend? You know the Pirkei Avot tells us, have a mentor and acquire for yourself a friend. We've spoken about this before, but it says the word acquire, which means you have to really invest. What I have to invest, it's not the love you have to invest in. Friends are friends. They click, if there's chemistry, I like the person because we just get on together. That's chesed. It doesn't even take that much work. What takes work is the gevura. It's the respect for the other person. It's the holding back. It's sometimes not suffocating them with the help or the love you want to give them. All that stuff. If you can apply that gevura, really good gevura, to make it a healthy, the friendship will be unbelievable, which means the chesed will be unbelievable. The chesed without the gevurah will end up in an ineffective relationship. But if you take the gevurah and you channel it, and you say, sort of sweeten the gevurah, right? So sometimes we have gevurah tendencies, we have to learn to harness that gevurah in good ways, to use it to serve the chesed. When the gevurah serves the chesed is unbelievable, and the blessing is unbelievable. So that's the two foundational parts of our existence. The chesed and the gevurah are really two foundational parts, two foundational emotions that we have, and we have to learn to use them and use them appropriately. The way you use them is you use both have to help each other. Chesed and the gevurah, the chesed becomes the goal, and gevurah becomes the tool to facilitate the chesed. And then it becomes very strong chesed. Next we will go into the third one, which is the third one of the triangle, Tiferet, which is a very, very important one, which we'll get to next week, please God. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Sure.